American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bill Raggio and Tom Jossen. They keep the Long War Journal for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, where they're senior fellows. The Afghanistan story dominates the news and will for these next weeks, months, and years. However, Al-Qaeda is busy, restless around the world. And this week, Bill and Tom and their Generation Jihad podcast turn to East Africa, Al-Shabaab. Al-Shabaab is a direct link to Al-Qaeda, but that in itself is a story because it wasn't always clear in the reporting that Al-Shabaab was part of the larger apparatus. So I begin with definitions. Tom, Al-Shabaab, over the years, it has evolved into an effective combat organization, but propaganda organization as well, in many countries in East Africa, reaching into Central Africa. Right now, in your podcast, I learned that Al-Shabaab is learning from the Taliban and learning from propaganda. How so, Tom? What change do you see in their announcements?
Well, what we've documented, and we've got more coming along these lines, is that Shabaab has been cheering on the Taliban's advances in Afghanistan. Interestingly enough, referring to Ayman al-Zawahiri as still alive and referring to him as the emir of Al-Qaeda globally, and also honoring Habibullah Akhundzada, the emir of the Taliban, as the commander of the faithful, which is a title that's usually used by a Muslim caliph. Why is this all interesting? Well, Shabaab really has modeled itself after the Taliban and wants to do exactly what the Taliban's doing in Afghanistan. In fact, Bill and I often refer to Shabaab as the Taliban of Africa, or now it's one of two Talibans in Africa, because Al-Qaeda also has a burgeoning emirate in West Africa. And what Shabaab has been fighting to do for years as part of Al-Qaeda is build an Islamic emirate in East Africa that would take over Somalia and would then also take over parts of surrounding countries. And they've made gains in this regard over the last several years. The U.S. has maintained a minimal presence, although that's been drawn down now, was drawn down under President Trump. The U.S. has carried out recently an airstrike in Somalia and seems to still have some presence there in East Africa, of course. But the U.S. presence in Africa has basically helped the Somali government prevent Shabaab from taking over the entire country. It remains to be seen if the U.S. and its allies have the will to keep preventing Shabaab from taking over Somalia in the near future.
I should ask for a definition and an origin story. Bill, I come to you on this. I learned from your podcast something I'd forgotten if I ever knew it, that in the early years and sometime earlier in this century, Al-Shabaab was not clearly linked to Al-Qaeda. Did I hear that correctly? And what was it linked to if it wasn't a bad actor jihadist?
Well, Al-Qaeda's always had a presence in Somalia, and it's influenced some key leaders. Around 2006, a group called the Islamic Courts Union, of which Shabaab was a part, it took over most of central and southern Somalia, including the capital of Mogadishu. And Al-Qaeda was a part of that. There were several key leaders, and there were individuals within Shabaab that wanted to declare allegiance with Al-Qaeda. So to make those be under the cover links, make them official. The African Union, actually Kenya, launched an offensive, ejected the Islamic Court units from Mogadishu and other areas that it controlled, like Baidoa, a major city in west southwestern Somalia. But then Shabaab became the primary actor, and all of the key leaders of the Islamic Court Union joined on with Shabaab. And Shabaab, by 2009, retook control of Mogadishu and all of southern and central Somalia again. And at that point, there was a direct relationship between Shabaab and Al-Qaeda. You even had, and this was something I reported in, I believe, 2010, you had Al-Qaeda, you know, Osama bin Laden ordering Sheikh Zubair, who was the leader of Shabab, to keep the relationship with Al-Qaeda on the down low because Shabab wanted to continue foreign, because bin Laden wanted foreign aid to continue to flow into areas that Shabab controlled. If there was, if it was known that Shabab was a part of Al-Qaeda's branch, then that would have stopped, or at least been hindered. So, and, but then that relationship became, after the death of bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri officially accepted Shabab as Al-Qaeda's branch. And I believe that was 2011, where Shabab became an official branch of Al-Qaeda. But all along, it was working in concert with Al-Qaeda to establish. And one other quick point there, you know, that's back to the point that Tom made. Shabab wanted to, it took control of rural areas to take, it was acting just as the Taliban has acted, and taking control of rural areas to lay pressure on more populated areas. That's what Shabab has done over the past. It's controlled territory. It wants to create its emirate, like Shabab, like the Taliban went to create its emirate in Afghanistan. So this is all interlinked. It's all part of the same strategy to get that, to restore the caliphate.
Tom, you mentioned the airstrike. We can guess it was a drone strike by the Biden administration in East Africa against al-Shabaab. I note also in the news, the Defense Secretary of the United Kingdom, Ben Wallace, and the Kenyan Cabinet Secretary for Defense, Dr. Monica Juma, signed an accord during a visit by the Kenyan official to London. This looks to strengthen the ties between global Britain and Kenya, which is a traditional Anglophone country. However, this reminds me that other countries are involved in this, whether they want to be or not, from a list that is presented in an announcement, I believe from al-Shabaab, that you feature on your podcast. And most striking on the list is that al-Shabaab either opposes or is in conflict with Turkey. Did I hear that correctly, Tom?
That's right, John. You know, this is Turkey is one of the issues where there's a divide within the jihadi world in terms of relations with Turkey, because Turkey has supported international efforts in Somalia and is invested in international efforts in Somalia that are opposed to Shabab's takeover of the country. And so Shabab and its emir, Amin Amar, who we've talked about quite a bit, otherwise known as Abu Obeida, has railed against Turkey on several occasions in Shabab's official propaganda and official media. The issue is that other parts of the Al-Qaeda web and ISIS, too, have benefited from Turkey's largesse. In fact, the United States just last week issued a number of sanctions by the Treasury Department and the State Department targeting Al-Qaeda and ISIS figures who use Turkey and have safe haven in Turkey and use that safe haven to raise funds and direct funds to the jihad. So this is a very complicated issue in terms of how Turkey sits on this divide within the jihadi world.
Also, Qatar is named. In fact, al-Shabaab has what you'd have to say is an unusual and original list of enemies. The puzzle here, Tom, always is how al-Qaeda works. It seems to have almost a federal style, whereas the individual regional al-Qaeda representatives have their own understanding of what we need to do and how we're going to do it. And al-Qaeda doesn't override that. It takes advantage of it. So should we think again of al-Qaeda as a franchisor that provides independent decision-making to the region, al-Shabaab?
You know, I don't like the word franchise because it's true that al-Qaeda allows the regional branches a large discretion when it comes to decision-making within their own regional branches. But that decision-making has to take place inside a framework that al-Qaeda is establishing. It's probably true that could be likened to a franchise business model. The problem is, however, that some of the individuals who are in these branches are in fact members of the senior al-Qaeda leadership as well. So it's like basically some of the home corporate headquarters has some of its members in these branches. Like there are people in Shabab today who are almost certainly part of al-Qaeda's senior leadership. We've documented that across the board. So there's not this clear dividing line really between al-Qaeda's senior leadership and the regional branches. In fact, it's much more organic and there's much more of a continuum between the two.
Bill, al-Shabaab, do I remember correctly that over the years, the Obama administration and the Trump administration, although my memory is not as vivid, launched routinely airstrikes, so much so that you were keeping a record at one point of airstrikes year to year. And suddenly that sort of that was cut back. Was that cut back with a policy statement, or did the attention of the Trump administration just turn elsewhere? Do we know?
So the Trump administration, before it left office, it decided to draw down the number of troops. There was about 700 troops supporting the Afghan or the Somali government. And then President Trump wanted to get them out and deploy them into Djibouti and do what they call over the horizon strikes. So the strikes haven't ended, but this is part of the Trump administration's efforts to disengage from the war. But the fact that the U.S. continues to have to launch these strikes is a key indication that the problems in Somalia don't go away when the U.S. leaves. So the endless wars don't end when the U.S. withdraws from these countries. The wars continue. So it's, you know, as much as the Trump administration wanted to disengage from Somalia, he still allowed the capacity to launch strikes to support the Somali government. But, as U.S. military commanders and officers in the region have noted, the further back you get, to launch these strikes, the further away, the more distance you put yourself between the location where you're conducting the strike and where you're actually launching them from, the more difficult it is to conduct accurate and timely strikes and more impactful strikes.
And the puzzle is, why the strikes, Bill? If we're not committing to Afghanistan, why would we commit to East Africa? Can you discern a U.S. strategy in these strikes? What, do we get a request from the locals and then we process it with some unknown checklist and then we send out very expensive drones to conduct a strike? Is that how it works?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, the U.S. Special Forces and U.S. Air Force are going to work closely with trusted Somali counterparts to launch these attacks. The targets typically either are members of Shabaab that are considered to be a threat to the West, but often, more often than not, these strikes are launched at what we would call military targets for Shabaab. Like, I'll often see them take out technicals, or attack Shabaab, training camps or ammunition depots. So they're actually targeting Shabaab's military assets, not what is often called external, operations assets or assets that are used to conduct attacks against the U.S., the West, or Western interests. And it's just an indication that without these strikes, the Somali government and military would be far more vulnerable. The strikes have certainly tapered off, but then it is also difficult to know when the strikes are being conducted by the military, which they're often announced, or if they're being conducted in support of the CIA, and the CIA is not under any obligation to disclose these strikes.
Bill Rajo, Tom Jostin, they're senior fellows for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal. Al-Qaeda always in the news. And when we come back, Tom's written up fundraisers in Turkey. Al-Qaeda's strength is its ability to raise money. Just like any other bad actor in the world, you've got to finance your troops. How? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it. Your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.